Okay, now I've got a Clontarf-based artist on the line, and it's Frank O'Dea. He is an art gallery owner and an artist. Good afternoon, Frank.
Hello, Pat. How are you doing?
You're welcome to the programme.
Great. Thanks very much. Thank you very much. Actually, Pat, before we go on there, do you know, I really, really enjoyed listening to that last interview with Bob Carley. It was really, really good. I missed the beginning of it, but it was the last 20 minutes of it were excellent. And you know, something else, I was just thinking, I was ticking the boxes. I have a lot, actually, in common with that guy, Bob Carley. You mentioned he was a bank manager at one stage.
Yeah.
And I worked in the bank as well at one stage. I'm now self-employed. He's a self-employed consultant. He reads the Bible. I'm reading the Bible. He goes to the church in Pierce Street. I go to the church next door to him, a Christian as well. So all these boxes, he loves his job. Me, I love my job. So it was kind of funny just, and you didn't know I was going to be on the air, you know, and him. So it's just funny how
Are you acquainted with him?
I don't know him at all, no, but just I really, really just enjoyed listening to the interview with him. Very, very interesting. It's one that I actually like listen to on it. I don't know if you do a playback or whatever, but
yeah, we do. Yeah, we can do podcasts, yeah.
Oh, great, yeah.
I think there's another connection there. I think Bob was based in Raheny at one stage, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. I'm Clontarf, but I was living in Raheny for a few years as well. So, we're a lot in common, all right.
Yeah, you may have even passed each other by on the street at one stage.
Probably, yeah, probably on the same bus, yeah.
You never know. Okay, Frank, anyway, we're going to talk about you for a change now. I'm looking at the current edition of the Northside People East, and the story is in the on page 14, and it's got a picture of you holding up a picture of a man tied by the ankles upside down and somebody else holding onto a rope. He looks like he's in a balaclava, I'm not sure. And it says, Frank O'Dea, one of his popular Budget Day prints, and this is called Budget Day. Is it this particular painting
is
called Budget Day?
Yeah, it's a little bit different than the normal paintings that I do, but I think a lot of people could relate to it, particularly this time of the year. You know, last week, the anticipation of the budget and what's going to happen, what are they going to take office next and all that. And it's just a kind of a reflection of what the mood is, over the last few budgets with the whole austerity. The guy actually, basically, the painting, it's a guy in a balaclava. So on the back of his shirt is written Taxman.
Nice.
And he's strung up this guy upside down. And his pockets are being emptied out of all his money, his wallet and all his money. And the poor guy is, you know, very upset with that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of based on a kind of a bit of satire, but at the same time it has a message as well.
Well, it's a very dark-looking painting, I have to say.
Yeah, it is. It's depressing. It was funny because I only had the original painting, it's an oil painting, in the gallery window for, I think it was only about 2-3 days. And somebody came into the gallery and said, I want it. Fair enough. What I've done now is I've done prints of it as well, people who might want something a bit of humorous. But a little bit kind of amused at the amount of people that have been interested in it. Like, even normally in the gallery, I'd be selling beautiful landscapes and still lives and sunsets and all that. And then you have this depressing, sad painting.
A little bit tortuous looking.
It is, But you know, I could suggest maybe putting it into your downstairs toilet or something like that, or you know, something to brighten people, you know, up and they look at it.
Yeah, well, or sell it, give it to the tax office and let them hang it up in one of their offices.
Do you know what? I might just do that. Maybe, you know, give them a little a Christmas present of one.
Of a print, yeah. Why not? Frank, it says here in the article, every year as Halloween approaches, you deliberately hang up something a bit different to tie in with the season. So that happens every year, is it?
Yeah. I'm based there in the Westbury Mall, and you get a lot of people walking by, and particularly kids and all that. I just like to have something of a Halloween-themed nature. Last year I had painting by another Clontarf artist, Jonathan Barry, and a painting of Dracula, and just something to tie in, and also of, you know, I generally do that with different times of year themes, maybe for Valentine's Day I'd have maybe a love theme, or Christmas, or something Christmassy as well. So I just thought, rather than having the scary Draculas and Frankensteins, I just thought I'd do something really, really scary, you know. And I thought this, the budget day seems to be something that really does scare people.
Of course,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
More than these Draculas.
Yeah, you could have actually even gone darker and deeper if you wanted, Frank, couldn't you, with the scariness of the budget, you know?
It's quite a real, you know, we kind of, you know, with the water charges coming in now, with the household tax, you know, with, you know, it's like the old age pensioners, their travel being taken off, and it just, there's cutbacks everywhere, they're kind of nigging and nagging, you know, particularly with the water charges, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I might even do a picture on a painting of something to do with the water as well.
Why not?
Such a topical thing, you know, and it is very, very frustrating as well, you know, like, in a way, okay, it's satire, but I think the message is there, you know. You know, we can't keep on going in those kind of austerity measures, you know, without people being really affected.
Okay, well, let's look at you for a while, Frank.
Mm.
In a past life, you worked in the bank.
That's right.
And then now you're an art gallery owner and a painter. So when did the transition take place from being somebody who worked in a bank to what you do now?
Okay, well, I've been about 25, 26 years working full-time in the bank. Well, I took a career break of 5 years within that, travelled the world, went around. And then what happened was with the whole financial collapse, the banks then were bringing in this voluntary severance package. And what I did at the time was, before even the package came in, I was really, really interested in art and the whole art business, as well as being a painter myself. So I set up the art gallery in 2009, and I was on a kind of a sabbatical as well. So I set up the gallery, and I had the gallery up and going, and I had somebody running the gallery, and I'd go in every Saturday. And then the banks then offered this package, voluntary severance, and I put my hand up and said, me, I'd love to go. And just, they you know, they were looking for so many staff to go, so I was lucky enough to get it. Like, there were a lot of people looking for it, and so it was really just through that I got to move jobs. I didn't have to quit the bank or didn't have to just leave.
Yeah.
So I was kind of fortunate in that way, and I've been buying art over the years as well. Like, while people were buying bank shares and buying other sorts of shares, I've been buying art, so as an investment. And so I was just, it's like a dream come true, following my dream, opening up an art gallery, and an opportunity to sell my own art as well as other artists from, you know, more established artists and emerging artists from around the country. So that's kind of really how it happened. It just seemed to fall into place. It's a little bit like what your man Bob Carly, your previous speaker, was saying, that things just sometimes, life is a journey, and things happen, you know. Like, I didn't know 20 years ago, or even 10 years ago, that I was going to open up an art gallery. I thought, maybe if I win the lottery, maybe or something like that, you'd be able to do something like that. But things just do happen, you know, and you just keep on following. Like, I'm passionate about what I do. I mean, I love my job, and I'm passionate about it, and I love meeting artists and people who love art. So it's very much, I think, you know, for me, it was a square peg round hole to some degree in my last few years in the bank, you know, but it gave me that edge to say, right, this is where I need to go, you know, this is what I need to do. And so it was a kind of a journey like that.
Yeah, but it was probably time, Frank, wasn't it? Time to go. Like, I mean, some people have, you know, you're in a particular job and you're there for maybe 10 or 15 years and, you know, you're starting to feel, oh, you've done it all in this place and there's not much more you wish to achieve. And you can see new young people coming in with lots of fresh enthusiasm, and then something can happen, you know, and you can get the opportunity to go then, and it happens like that, you know. So
it can, Pat, but I mean, when I was working, I mean, it was quite a big organization, that it was over 11,000 staff in it, so there's always different areas that you could move into, you know, and it was quite exciting. Some of the jobs were very, very interesting, nothing to do with banking at all, but they were just within the departments, and I learned so much from that, you know. So I wouldn't probably have opened up a gallery if I probably hadn't had the experience and from bringing from that. But you know, a lot of people, a lot of my friends are still working in the bank and very happy there and learning more, and And yeah. I think in a way, it's probably my personality as well. I kind of, being an artist as well, I wanted to be painting more, and I wanted to be using my creativity skills more, and combining that with marketing and all that. It just was a natural fit for me. So in a way, I think the way the financial crisis happened, and the banks needed people to go, so it suited everyone, you know, in that particular thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I do have to think that there's a lot of young people coming into the bank as well. And when I joined the bank all those years ago, it was a permanent pensionable job. That was kind of the thing that attracted you to the bank. There's very few jobs in the country in those days. I think the civil service, maybe a teacher or whatever, civil service and the bank were the things that, if you got into the bank, well, you're sorted for life, you know. And
well, that's no longer the situation, Frank, is it? I mean,
times have changed, you know.
Well, it may still apply to the civil service. I'm not sure, because I'm not in the civil service, but it's not the same situation with regard to the banks since the collapse of our economy several years ago.
Yeah.
Could I ask you, have you any regrets on not leaving the permanent job earlier?
Have any regrets?
Doing it younger.
Sorry, say again.
Have you any regrets that you haven't done what you're doing younger, when you were at a younger age?
I don't really know how to answer that, because I think with the experience I got from the bank and just the whole part of your learning and growing experience, I don't really know. I mean, I would have been in a different frame of mind maybe 15 years ago.
Having said that,
one of the great things the bank and civil service and other places do is they give an opportunity for career breaks. So, I mean, I basically traveled around the world for 2.5 years of working, you know, in Australia and America. And you learn more about yourself and probably than you would, you know, in say, a normal 9-to-5 job, and with the experience and the jobs you do in all of that. So I think it was, you know, I don't think I regret not doing it earlier. And even though the economic climate now has changed, you know, and the whole art business has probably gone downhill rapidly since those days. Like, I would talk to other gallery owners and say, oh, it was amazing 10 years ago, and art and all that, the whole art scene. But having said that, I think I probably the timing was right for me. It's not too early, not too late sort of thing.
But people are starting to say now the recession, the green shoots and all that sort of thing. And people are, I was listening to something on radio earlier on a different station saying that they can see that their people are now going out and spending their money and that sort of thing. And the recession may not be completely past us, but it is on the way out, so to speak. So, you know, people are becoming a bit more optimistic, I think, about the prospects for the country financially.
Yeah.
And particularly for the run-up to Christmas, I suppose, people have to try and become a little bit optimistic, because the retail sector wants to sell and make money. And the run-up to Christmas, people's attitudes lifted, you know, their mood lifts somewhat, even though it's only a temporary thing, because January will come around and it'll probably be snow and ice all over the place. But at the same time, things will have to be kind of lifting to some degree. Otherwise, what prospects are we facing? You know, we have to be optimistic.
I think, you're right. There is a bit more of a positive mood. Now, having said that, there still is a certain amount of despair as well. People are just anxious for Christmas and whatever.
Yeah.
But what I think with the general public, they're looking for more value for money now. Whereas before, say, people wouldn't question sort of prices on things, and particularly with luxury items like, say, jewellery or like fine art or paintings or antiques or whatever. People want more. They don't need luxury items, do you know what I mean? But they like to treat themselves and something like a gift or something unique or whatever. But but people do want more value for holidays, for everything. So, you know, there is that change in people, you know, with the whole kind of collapse of the economy. But, the green shoots are there. What I found, there is a huge amount of, like, working in Dublin, there's an amount of tourists coming through, even around now. I mean, I thought, like, June, July, August, and that would be it, and the main tourist season is over. But there's a huge amount of tourists still coming through Dublin, coming into Dublin, Grafton Street, down into Johnson's Lane, into the Westbury Mallet, and all around that area. So, you know, I would have a lot of people coming into the gallery that are from overseas, and even people coming back to Ireland, you know.
And are they, spending their money, Frank? Are they buying works?
They are, but not to the same level. I mean, Christmas is always different, of course.
Yeah.
One of the things that I always look at when I'm in town is I look at people to see if they're carrying bags.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you know if they're buying stuff or not. You know, if they're walking around on a browsing around like on a Sunday afternoon, whatever, that's different. But you look to see how many bags are. Do people have bags with them? You know,
yeah.
That's how you know. And at the moment, you don't see. October tends to be that little bit of the quiet season. You know, just with the lead up to Christmas, and perhaps because of the budget and because of the water charges and because of all these other things coming in and the kids back to school, there's a lot of demand on people to, you know, for their disposable income. So, you know, October does tend to be that kind of little bit of a quieter month.
Yeah.
And then slowly by mid-November, it's kind of back into mad season, as they say, you know,
when
people start buying.
Okay. We're going to go soon, Frank, because time is chasing after me, but you have established artists like Graham Nuttall, I have to mention.
Yes.
His work is on exhibit, and Norman Teeling, and some more well-known artists. And
in fact, Norman, he is another Clontarf artist as well, Norman Teeling. Yeah, and Brian McCarthy, another Clontarf artist. Tom Byrne and Niall O'Loughlin and Ray Sherlock. A good few artists from around the greater Dublin area.
Yeah.
And it also street art as well. I kind of like to promote the street artists as well from Dublin. So there's a bit of variety, you know, as well as emerging artists.
Yeah.
It's quite a mixture of art there, you know. And I like to have things that other galleries don't have as well, you know. So there is something for everything. And, you know, we have original pieces of art for €30. You know, that, it's not like you have to be coming in spending an arm and a leg on a piece of art.
Yeah, you don't have to be the Sultan of Oman or something like that.
No, not quite. Although if he walked in the door now, I'd be delighted.
Well, if he walked in the door and spend money, you'd be more delighted. I mean,
I'd be more delighted, exactly. Yeah, but no, it's all kind of styles and all budgets. We kind of, and in fact, it's funny because the gallery, I'm only there since like what, 4 or 5 years now. But it used to be a little jewellery shop before I took it over, and when I opened it up, people were kind of laughing and they were saying, "You're going to make a gallery out of that?" Because I mean, it's only 9 square meters.
Right.
So you literally blink and you'll miss it, but. Mm-hmm.
It's in the Westbury Mall, you said, isn't it, Frank?
In the Westbury Mall there, just in from Johnson's Lane and opposite Paul Sheeran Jeweller there, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, we're open every day and drop in, and we have complimentary coffees and
lovely.
Coming for a chat about art as well.
Lovely, lovely. I've really got to wrap this up, Frank. But
yeah.
Listen, if people want to see aspects of your gallery and what you do, where you are, you have a website, don't you, that they can log
That's
on to?
That's right, yeah. The website is www.balaban.net. That's BALLABAN.net.
Okay.
Balaban.net. Do you know what Balaban stands for?
I don't, Frank.
Did you pass Irish in school? Did you do your Leaving Cert?
I wasn't great with Irish. I tended to switch off like a lot of other people did. But tell me, Bon is white, of course. So what is Balaban? What is it?
Bala is wall. And Bon is white. So
white wall.
You actually got the Bon right. White wall. And if you walk into any gallery before they hang up paintings, it's all white walls. That's all you see.
Okay. Well,
so,
that's fairly.
I just thought I'd give it an Irish.
Fairly straightforward, and it's good. Yeah, I like it. Okay, well, Frank, I'm going to try and get in at some stage because
great.
I'm greatly interested in art and painting myself and all things artistic. So I would love to come in and have a look around, maybe have a cup of coffee with you and chat about things.
The other website, Pat, is www.frankod.net.
That's
my own. All my own paintings. And
lovely.
The one where you saw the tax man being hanging up the taxpayer, that'll be showing up on that website as well. So,
okay.
Yeah, you can come in, and I'll tell you one thing as well. There's no tax on any of the paintings you buy in the gallery there, so we're all tax-free.
Lovely. That's even better again, Frank. Okay, listen, I'm going to let you go, but thanks very much for taking the call this morning, and hopefully I will get into the gallery and we'll have a chat. Okay, Frank, thanks very much.
Cheerio.
Thank
bye
you.
Now.
Bye-bye. Bye. Frank O'Dea there talking to me about his gallery, and it's called Balaban, and it's in the Westbury Mall, small gallery in the Westbury Mall, but he sounds like a great man to talk to, and different sort of works that he's selling, as well as mainstream artists. He did say he features some of the street artist work, which is absolutely brilliant, I think.